Call this school board meeting on Tuesday, March 19th to order. Karen, please determine a quorum.
Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Marla Latomski.
Here.
Cheryl File. James Lister.
Here.
Katie Holmlin.
Here.
Maria Funt.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
She's right behind.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to the approval of the agenda, we have an addendum to add this evening to the consent agenda. It would be item number 11, which is an extra duty contract to replace Ellie Clemens, the middle school volleyball, for middle school volleyball with Alana Coral for a third split with Jamie Cabral and Bev Serks. So I move that we add that to the consent agenda as number 11. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Katie Holmlin. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any other changes to the agenda? All right, all in favor of accepting the agenda as amended, signify, or I move that we approve the agenda as amended. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Any, no discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Oh, all right. So we will move right into our student presentation, which tonight is our Title VII, Indian Education Program and their travel that they took. So Director of Activities, Jamie Cabral, chaperoned students on an educational trip to Juneau and Sitka and to attend Mount Edgecombe's Founders Day celebration. And we will have an overview this evening of what they did.
Do you want to kick me off?
TV?
Yeah.
That'd be okay.
Yeah.
We'll see how many show up. It might be too pretty outside.
I can't say I don't blame them.
Really?
Other activities?
So I'm going to give you guys a little overview of what we did. Heidi came along as our female chaperone, and our kids came up with our group name. It's called Ping. We call ourselves Ping. It's the Petersburg Indigenous Native Group, and they came up with that the first year of our cohort.
That's cool.
This is the third year we've been doing a cultural trip with this crew just so they can get a little bit more education and diverse piece within their Tlingit or Haida or Tsimshian or Native American culture, because a lot of them don't have a whole lot of background of where they came from or what their clan is or anything of that sort. So throughout this whole project, a lot of them found out how rich their background is, their culture, and who they're related to. And some of them didn't realize how important some of their last names were in Tlingit culture and history. So it's been really cool. A lot of them have started their own family trees to go backwards. A lot of them are learning the language. A lot of them are joining A&B, A&S Hall, doing some really, really cool things. So just going to give you an overview of what we do within this group and where we go, what we try to find out. But yeah, so this is our first little slideshow that we're going to do for you. Heidi put it all together, so she gets all the credit. That first picture on the left-hand side, that is an octopus regalia. That was in the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Really, really pretty and detailed. And all of the little suction cups, they're buttons. So every single little one is a button that's all handmade. The eagle there, that was... It was. We were there on Valentine's Day, so that was one of our girls' Valentine's for the day, because they didn't have another one, so he was a big male eagle. And then the other picture you'll see later, but that is in the clan house at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, and it is tremendously gorgeous in that building, and we'll go through that. That back wall is all glass. That's in the background. It is extremely pretty. So we'll go to the first one. Our day started off, we were actually able to attend Mount Edgecombe Founders Day celebration, and we usually kind of tag team with Mount Edgecombe, but this is the first time we actually got to show up on Founders Day, because Alaska Airlines, now you can get to Sitka at 6:30 at night and not have to take the late flight into Sitka at midnight anymore, so you can make that connection, which is amazing. So we got to go to the big celebration piece, and what you see on the left-hand side, that guy standing next to the microphone, that is Stephen, or sitting, yeah, sorry. That is Stephen Blanchett. He does a lot of cultural pieces across the state regarding any type of Alaska Native heritage. And so we'll show you a little film of him singing and the kids dancing. And in reality, that girl that's right there with the hat on, that's one of our old students, and Heidi's old student when we were in Sitka. But she looks so familiar. And then the bottom right-hand side is the kids all from Mount Edgecombe and some little kids dancing, and we'll show you the seal dance, which
is actually I believe there's at least three groups out here. There's Aleut, Yupik, and Inupiaq in on the floor right now in the bottom.
So we'll go through. Oh, lucky you, film. So hopefully the volume comes through so you can hear him sing. But this one is called the seal dance. And our kids are kind of sitting off to the side and kind of got to get an invite to attend this because it's only Mount Edgecombe students typically, so we tag team with them. Shooting the seal and hunting and going to the seal and pulling.
Get your head moved.
He makes it real fun. They're paddling the canoe towards the seal.
Nothing. Why are you straining so hard? There's nothing there.
So he just keeps going and it's really, really fun. I'm gonna fast forward to the So that's just one of the dances that they did while they were there. Anything else you want to add?
Just from working there previously, is you actually can't teach these songs to anybody else unless you've been given permission by an elder in your tribe. So just a little tidbit of information.
Yeah. So this is kind of fun to think about. This 4 days, 11 humans, 6 plate segments, 1 church, 1 hotel, fun and educational. And we work the kids. They need to take naps because we just keep pushing them to the next. We try to get in as much as we can. And they actually weren't that grumpy this time. The first time it was, whew. We went back for like a 30-minute nap and then went to our next one. So we just keep working them. Try to make the most out of it. So we took them to Castle Hill, and they learned a little bit about the Tlingit-Russian conflict, of how it all started, how Baranof Island got its name, the bishop's house, how all of the Russian Tlingit relationship happened, the cannons that are up there too. If you've never been to Castle Hill, the cannons are still pointing in the correct direction of when the Tlingits got basically kind of pushed out of their land and put into a little village, and the Russians settled in Sitka, and the cannons were always pointing at the Tlingit village. So they learned a lot about that Russian piece. And that was our kids there. Avery, Herman Sakamoto on the right, Jaden Perry, Matt Espeseth, Mikkel, and Heather, and Kingston, and Keston, and George Skeek. And Keston is a Hollingstad, which is very important last name in Southeast Alaska because she's one of the founders of, that name is one of the founders of NBNS from a long time ago. So he went back, because of this, all this stuff that we do, he went back and found oodles and oodles of typewriter papers that his grandmother wrote, which is super cool and super neat to see, and he keeps them in a little binder. So very cool, and I go, you know your like bloodline is really big and important. So he goes, really? Well, yep. So he's doing a lot of research on his side.
That's cool.
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah.
And then we took a tour at UAS. Very, very neat because this group is an older group and 3 of them are going to be seniors and trying to figure out what they are going to do with the rest of their lives. We got to visit the welding shop, the wood shop within them. Jaden is really into marine biology and we got to meet with the whale observatory people, the basically the four people that run the whale classes at UAS, they were all there, so they got to meet them and talk about, you know, what they're going to do. We got a couple students really interested in art, and they've got the Northwest Art Form Line classes that they do. You can get a minor in it at UAS. So we did that in Juneau as well. We also visited UAS Juneau campus and got to meet with the Tlingit advisor there. So really, really cool about just trying for them to figure out what they're going to do after high school. It was really cool to kind of tie that into all of it. And then we took them to the Raptor Center because it's super fun and they want to adopt every bird. And so that one on the top is, I forget its name, but it's one of the smallest falcons in Alaska. It's a girl.
It's yeah. Sophie.
It's yeah. Sophie? Yeah, Sophie. There you go. And then the one underneath where Talia and I are, that's Boris. And Boris is a gray owl.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sheldon Jackson Museum on the campus of the old Sheldon Jackson College, which is now Sitka Fine Arts. That is the largest collection of Alaskan artifacts in the world. So Sheldon Jackson has oodles and oodles. And all those drawers, that you can pull them out and look into every single one. And they got every single cultural piece there. You got Tlingit, Tsimshian, then it goes Aleut.
I could have actually spent hours, but oh. I think some of the kids had already been there before from a trip, but I could have yeah. spent hours there.
Hours and hours.
And they were like ready to go, and I hadn't even gone halfway through. But
yeah, some really cool stuff. Yeah. If you ever get to Sitka, do that. You could spend all day, literally all day in there. And they actually had a very big specimen that we could not take a picture of that they borrowed from Canada. It was off mm-hmm. the northwest coast. It was one of the hats that they used to canoe paddle. That was the one Aleut? Visiting. It was down by Canada, wasn't it?
It was Aleut.
Oh, it was Aleut hat?
Yeah.
And that's the one that we couldn't take a picture of because it was a visiting gift. So pretty cool that they get all of those things mm-hmm. in there. But they learned about who Sheldon Jackson was too. So.
And it sounds like this is one of Sheldon Jackson's, might be,
they
thinking
about
selling it for money, right?
I think so.
They're going to sell it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That would be really That's unfortunate.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be selling it with Senator Stedman inside, he said. Over his dead body.
Yeah. Yeah. These are all the kids in the Klan House. We got a tour of the Sea Alaska Heritage Center. The Klan House was built in 2014, and we don't have a real good picture of it, but if you ever heard of the word ads, and the little marks that they make in wood in the Klan houses, there's over a million different hits with an old school hammer that the carver did in the Klan house. And they open it up to the public and they do all sorts of celebrations in there, weddings, baby's first birthdays, all of those things. Really, really cool to be in there and just learn about the Klan house. And then I'll show a picture of what the Klan house is. The middle picture is a staff. The right side is super neat. It's halibut hooks, mm-hmm. and there is a man in Klawak who came and did a class and gave us a history about the halibut hook. It was actually genius once you learn about the halibut hook itself. So the gap between the nail and the bottom was perfectly spaced to only catch specific sizes of halibut so that the native Alaskans could leave the little ones and let the big ones go. So it only pick up the mm-hmm. correct size mm-hmm. halibut for them to harvest. And so this guy, long lines, sets his skates in Klawak. He only uses native Alaskan halibut hooks. He doesn't use a circle hook or anything like that. It's only the old versions. If you see that little hand in the upper right-hand corner, what that little hand is carved out of wood. And what they would do was leave the bait and the halibut hook in the water. And as soon as a fish would hook onto it, the hand would actually come up out of the water and would wave. So that they knew that something was on and they would just chase it.
Like a bobber.
So it's like, yeah, like an old school bobber. Yeah. So it was super neat to learn all about those things. And our student there, George, he is all into making halibut hooks. So he was loving this portion of it. And within the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, we got to go downstairs into their vault. And we got to see Miss Alaska's dress and shoes that she used because she's of Tlingit heritage, and her dress was actually designed with Tlingit art on it, and they have it down there in their vault that is below sea level, and they thought it was crazy that they're building it below sea level, but there's like five different walls that it has to go through. It's very high tech and super cool place. Mm-hmm. So, and this is just them outside the front of the Sea Alaska Heritage Center. Each totem pole represents each Southeast culture. So you got the Tsimshian, Haida and the Tlingit pole, and all of our kids are Tlingit. And then on the right-hand side, it was just kind of an explanation of the two floaters and the halibut hook on the bottom. So super neat. A lot of science behind it in reality, and very cool stuff. And then this is the last piece of our puzzle where we went to the Tlingit Haida Community Center in Juneau and celebrated Elizabeth Pradovich Day there. And the governor's right-hand man was actually there at our celebration with us. He was the young guy with the glasses who was like the speaker. He was there with us. And so this is our kids in their regalia. And then we're going to show you just a little clip of, we got some of these kids to dance. So it was
fantastic.
Yeah,
I was fantastic. Really impressed that there was so many that wanted to actually get up. I know it was really hard for them being somewhere that they didn't know anybody. And they were teenagers, you know, obviously. But so it was great that they were able to do that and take pride of their culture and
so that's Kingston's back. He's our videographer of the trip. And we made really good friends with that lady sitting at that table. She wanted to give us a whole tray of cupcakes before we left. If you see Pat Espeset is right there. Somehow there's a guy next to him. That's me. And then George is next to me. Behind me is Heather, Shaden, and
Avery's way in the back,
unfortunately.
She kind of led the group because she had all her regalia,
so I can't
see her very well. But
we were sweating about 10 minutes in. So, probably 10 seconds in. So, we did three dances. We did an entrance. We did one dance, and every dance they gave a history piece about it, and then we did an exit dance at the end. But it was really cool that the kids just stepped up and got right into their culture. I actually found out they were cousins with some friends. So, very cool. And then we listened to a really good speech by Walter Soboloff. I think he's this nephew who is from... but made a really, really good speech at the end. He was talking about... a nice long song, and our legs were burning pretty good. So, and then we'll go a couple more. We got a couple outtakes just for fun on top of these ones. So Taleo was really ready to fall asleep. Kessen was probably best dressed on the trip itself. He was super tired on that one, and Kingston couldn't stop laughing at that moment. We were in Donna's, by the way. We had about 20 minutes to eat at Donna's. If you haven't eaten at Donna's, get there. And then Matt, and then Jaden, and somehow we met that guy on our trip.
I'm sorry.
Did not meet him. I met him. Got some good chef tips from him. But he was at the airport. So the kids were like, oh my gosh, it's Chef Ramsey. So
that's funny.
Yeah. But that's our trip. And the kids, I know, love doing this piece and have a blast doing it. But thanks for letting us go on this one. Really, really good to keep it going.
I was going to say that the award that the, did you know that, Jamie, about the award that the halibut hook was inducted into that? It's the first ever item inducted into the Alaska State Committee for Research Innovators Alaska Hall of Fame. The halibut hook.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is such a cool halibut. Exhibit. It's and if you cool. get to go visit, it's very cool. And I think we're building some of the software that we have from the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Our teachers have it now, the software onto their computers, and they can build it into their lessons if they wanted to build in, because they can look at title change and different things. Really, really cool software that they have built in that we got to play around with during one of our professional development classes, and that we got to do all the stuff from Sea Alaska Heritage. Very, very cool stuff. So.
We didn't get a picture, but we were at the Tobing Park Museum also.
Oh yes, and we did the Park Museum in Sitka too, the Sitka National Park, where they have like 250-year-old total level of history too. So yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That's great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. We will move into our student representative report. Miss Maria Funt.
Okay, so the student body has been very busy the past month, and because of that, the ASD members have not had a meeting since our last meeting. But the school body has been doing a lot of stuff like regions. A large portion of the students went to that, and then we had spring break, and we're coming up to the end of the third quarter. And a large portion of our upperclassmen are going to Washington, D.C. on the close-up trip. They leave this Friday. And after that, the school body is going, well, a large portion is going to Art Fest. So there will be less people
an
in
empty
the school,
high school
and a lot of traveling. But it's good. Everyone's looking forward to it. So, yeah.
Are you going on either of those trips?
I am not.
You will be left
Damn
behind.
You'll be left behind.
All right. Do we have any correspondence? I don't think so.
No.
Any comments from the audience unrelated to any agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? Any comments from board members? All right, I move that we accept the consent agenda, which includes February 2019 monthly accounting reports, bills, payroll, and electronic fund transfers, ASCB trial balance, and P-card statements, the February 12th, 2019 regular board minutes, extra duty contracts of Eric Hoff for assistant coach for baseball, Tyler Thane, head coach for track and field, Debbie Eddy, assistant coach for track and field, and the third split of Jamie Cabral, Bev Sirks, and Atlanta Coral in replacement of Ellie Clemens for middle school volleyball. Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Sarah. All in favor signify by saying... Karen, please call the roll for our vote.
Maria Funt.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Kitty Homeland.
Yes. Here. Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Okay,
yes.
Voting yes.
I'm
voting
or
no.
Marla
Thompson.
Yes.
Jay Lister. Yes. Not the hard part, Jay.
You're professional. It's been a long day.
All right, we'll move it was right into administrative reports. Superintendent Clute Painter.
Well, do want to welcome everybody back from spring break. And thank you to everybody for being inside today on a beautiful evening. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get one more or a couple more or maybe a whole other week of it would be wonderful. Busy times around, lots of conversations, of course, about budgets and legislative shenanigans, and all of that is coming later in the agenda, so I won't spend more time on that. I won't spend any more time on that. It's coming.
Okay. Elementary principals report, Mrs. Terry Toland.
Good evening. It's nice to be here, even though it's so beautiful outside. It's been busy. Lots of learning going on for teachers and students on our in-service on February 18th. Teachers spent a good deal of their time working on and looking at the MAP data from our MAP testing and finding ways that they can use that data to improve learning, and so it was very well-spent day, as well as looking at math curriculum and discussions about that process that's going forward next year. We were fortunate to have Phil Hofstetter provide hearing screenings for all of our students, and Aaron Michael provided vision screenings as well, and we were able to inform parents if there were needs for children to have more screenings done, so we appreciate their time and coming in to help us with that. Fourth graders participated in the NAEP test, National
Assessment of Educational Progress.
Okay, National Assessment of Educational Progress, and it's a test that we get randomly selected for each year, but were busy, and they were great sports about doing that again this year. We had Fred Lane come and speak with our fourth and fifth graders, and I was so impressed with the knowledge that our students have. A big thank you to Mary Ellen Anderson for the time she puts in to teach digital citizenship, and it shows kids have good tools. They have the knowledge of how to handle themselves online. I also need to thank Joni Johnson, Gina Esposito, Sunny Rice, and Karin Christensen for coming into our school and teaching all of our students about recycling, reusing, reducing. They've spent a great deal of time and effort in teaching kids about plastics, and it's been an important lesson. They had a great display in our display case, and we continue to have those lessons through the remainder of the year. Big thank you to them. It's a lot of time and effort. Conferences were well attended. We so appreciate families for coming and taking time to discuss their child's progress, and it's a very important time for teachers and families, so thank you very much for coming to those conferences. So, looking forward, we are reviewing about evacuating the building and teaching kids behaviors that are expected for that. We will be having an evacuation drill in the near future. We do have fire drills each month, but this is just a step further when we have to leave at a different spot. So there are spots around the town that are chosen for each school, and it's important and good for kids to know what to do in those situations, and teachers and all of us to know how to take care of that. We are not going to have school on April 11th and 12th because of teacher in-service days. Our elementary teachers, K-3, and a few of our paraprofessionals will be having some reading instruction. We had Linda Mood Bell, Vision and visualizing and verbalizing last year, and this year we are looking at seeing stars. It's another phonemic awareness and just a way to teach students who are having difficulties with readings, or just good good instruction. And our fourth and fifth grade teachers will be looking at fifth grade transition with the sixth grade teachers and trying to make that a smooth process, and discussions on students and just getting to know some of the students better, and discussions that have needed to be done in the past, but we haven't really had a time to do that. So they're looking forward to that. We also have the kindergarten open house on Thursday, April 11th at 6:30. So we invite all parents and children, children who will be kindergartners next year. We're looking forward to that. It's a fun time and important. We'll be sending out more information, but we need birth certificates and shot records, and it's important that way, but it's also important for kids to come in and feel welcomed in our school, and it is a lot of fun. And the Early Childhood Fair will be at 10 o'clock on Saturday, April 13th. We're helping the preschools around town, and it's going to be another fun time to have. There's screenings, there's games and activities, so we encourage people to attend that.
Where is that usually held? Sorry, pardon? To interrupt. Where is that usually held?
Well, that will be at the elementary school and the children's center across the,
the
street there, but most of it is in the elementary school, and it's a couple hours of just good fun. So hopefully we'll have a good turnout for that. And that is all I have this evening. Do you have any questions?
Okay. Thank you. Do we do earthquake drills? Maybe that's a general question, I guess, for
in October.
Oh, okay. I just kind of thought about it. I was like, earthquake drills. Just we do fire every month.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
They have a candle in the kind of sense.
Shake down, shake out.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maria.
Middle school, high school principals report. Mr. Rick Dormer.
Good evening, everyone. Sarah, first I thought you said Earth Day, and it got me thinking that Earth Day is coming up, and this day usually does a great job of that because it's for her. Seeing the consent, I just wanted to throw out there, and I'm stealing Jamie's thunder here a little bit, but thank you for approving. Eric Hoff is our assistant baseball coach. He kind of helped out last year. We had I can't think of his name, John, he was fantastic, the assistant coach last year.
Oh, Alex.
Yeah. Alex Jones, that's Jones' last name. That's right. And but he was fishing a lot, and so he was kind of here. And so Eric Hoff, who's on dad's staff as a maintenance and custodian and stuff, you know, kind of newer to our staff, stepped in. They call him Big Shug, is that right?
That's right.
Big Sugar. Okay. You know high school kids. And they love him. And he loves baseball. He puts on his cheaters, and he gets down, he analyzes. Anyway, he's just such a great addition. You know, Jim Mingle's been there for a lot of years and runs a good program, but they're good tandem, so it's exciting now. He's the official assistant coach, because I mean, they just stop him in the hall and they'll start talking baseball anytime, the winter, whatever. So thank you for that. It's a great. And then just to give a couple props for Tyler Thane, who's married to Lauren Briner, and has just jumped in. His dad's longtime AD in Craig. Tyler was a state championship wrestler, big wrestling guy, just got his degree. Really, he's really excited to be working with kids. He wants to be a teacher. You know, he's got his bachelor's and starting to work on that. But to step in after the legendary Brad Taylor, you know, who has just so many championships and everything all those years. And he's doing fantastic. And I know most of this from watching him, but mostly my daughter's in track and is having a really good experience. So
have they started? What's next?
Yeah, Jamie will give you more. All right, no. I just want to say that because they're great additions. Already some great coaches up there, so that's cool. As Maria told you, close-up is leaving, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to chaperone. Thank you again to lots of people that will be covering, and the board for approving that. I've been gone for a long time, and just a great opportunity. My kid's going, so it's fun to go. I went once in my life, my second year, really just because no one else chaperoned at that point. So this year I had to get my dukes up and get in there. But I'm really excited. It's really cool. This, and we're flying into Newark, New Jersey. I've never been in New Jersey personally, so that's kind of cool. It's going to be 5 in the morning or 1 in the morning our time, so I'm going to see a lot. But then we fly down to, we take a bus, charter bus down to Philadelphia and jumping into the historic district and spending the day there, seeing the Liberty Bell and stuff. We have promised the kids to see the Rocky statue, which I'm excited about. We are going to stop at Lincoln Financial. I'm an Eagles fan since 1994, but just for 15 minutes to see the field. Matt Pollock's not very happy. He's kind of a Steelers, you know, we got to, but that's okay. And then we head down to D.C. and Sunday night, you know, and then they start and there's all the cool stuff. We'll see the Holocaust Museum. Cool and in a terrible way, but you know, all the just amazing things there in the close-up. We get to jump in as chaperones to our own thing. Cindy Fry's going, Carly Byers going, my wife's going just with us. She's paid her own way, and it's going to be good. Going to be a great trip there. We've made appointments, you know, McCuskey and Young and Sullivan, and so we're doing that, and then we leave there on Friday. We're actually getting on Amtrak in Union Station and headed down to Williamsburg, Virginia, and we're going to see some of the historic things there, and then we fly out and come back. It's going to be a whirlwind, and kids are going to be tired, and it's a packed day of just really cool stuff. So 23 kids, 3 school chaperones, my wife. So thank you again for the time. It's going to be a great trip. Yeah, fun. At school today, students 9 through 12 completed the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and the board sees that data, so that was something checked off the list. Thanks to Ms. Turner for that, and the teachers for working through that. That's a pretty complicated one. Carly Byer in the office worked really hard. We have to get the active permission slip, so very successful. I think we got all of them, but maybe one, which is amazing, out of 136 high school kids, so very cool. It doesn't mean everybody took it, but at least they turned the permission slip saying yes or no, which is important for us, so people. Tomorrow, also, we're jumping in, 9th through 11th grade is going to forecast round 1, and this is not a schedule. We don't have a schedule because we don't have a budget because of that guy up there and his friends, but we want to get the information we can on what classes, and so we're calling it kind of the dream, what does someone call it, the fantasy draft, one of the staff, but we want to just say everything that we want, that we offer, and that we have offered in the past. You know, we have some classes alternate year to year. So we're going to put that out. Tomorrow we want kids just to give us what they're interested in at this point. So we know it's round 1. They're just a list of what they'd like to take. It's not in a schedule. There's not a time. There's not really any teachers associated with, except for the obvious things that have to be, and just getting information. So it's not necessarily going home at this point, but when we do get to another round 2 or 3 with kids, eventually the parents will get home and sign one, and that'll be a little more formal there. So yeah, that's going. If you hear that forecasting, we're doing 9 through 11 tomorrow, and then Ms. Turner will work with the 8th graders. It's a little more process for the first time, you know, as we go forward. You heard this Friday is the end of quarter 3, both the middle school and the high school. The middle school is doing an activity day where they hit their cores this Friday, and then they spend a couple hours doing some fun things organized by the student council, President Kieran Cabral, and that's going to be fun. And then the activity night is actually the following Friday, and all that's on the district calendar. So those are fun, again, fun ways in middle school to celebrate what we're doing. And then lots of testing. Ms. Turner has been busy doing a great job pre-ACT for all sophomores. Testing next week, that's on the calendar. The ACT that we sponsor for all juniors is the week after that. And along with that, we have the peak state testing as well as the science testing. So Lots going on, a lot of people busy. Miss Woodstock is running around doing also great things. So a lot of people doing that, and it's coming up. Good stuff, good opportunities for kids. I actually saw a kid sitting right here practicing the ECT. It was really cool. One of the juniors just doing the practice test, so that's good. Good, they're taking it seriously. Ms. Garoppolo attends too, but I like to throw out a high school plays coming up, and those are on there. And they're organizing an elementary and middle school performance, so it's really fun. I was watching today. I saw McKay Jones dressed up like a priest. So startling, full white with his rosary. Oh, okay, McKay, cool. He's having a good time, so it's going to be fun. Yeah, like, oh, wow. Thanks to Mrs. Fry for doing that. That's right, she's running that. Also, just to congratulate you, you had a busy basketball. If you were able to come around that homecoming weekend, I thought that was just a spectacular weekend, that very first week of March. Stands were packed. You said probably the most Wrangell band we've had, and Miss Dawn was there, her daughter playing. But the band was great, and we had a lot of concessions going. It was just really, really, I thought, a cool community event. And again, just as we wrap up basketball and cheer and pep band, all the cool stuff that's going on, girls are cheers up there, getting ready to compete for state right now. But Mr. Grabal, just to give him a thanks, he works tirelessly. As you see him running, and he's grabbing ice, and he's balancing his kid. And, you know what I mean? And talking on the microphone at the same time. So he does a good job. So really do appreciate it. I thought that was a great event. So just a lot of people in the community there was back at the stand. It's awesome. And then finally, Superintendent, is this a good time to mention the Curriculum Steering Committee? Do you want me to do later
sure,
time? Or is this
no,
good?
I think that's great.
Curriculum is wrapping up. This is the fine arts curriculum and the career technical education ones. And so those are wrapped up. I have a lot of those in my email now from the teacher who's been working hard for a year plus. We need to, by our policy, need to have the Curriculum Steering Committee meet, which I believe, Katie, you were the head of, but we have made it kind of a board work session so they can really dig in and ask questions. It usually takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Usually we do a 3 o'clock to 4:30 kind of thing. We have a student rep that's there. We usually have the teachers will be there, and then we get the board ask questions, and then when they get to the May board meeting, which is on the agenda, according to Superintendent Irene, that then it's a little easier just to approve what we've gone through. So that is coming up. We also need to talk about, we have two kind of new courses with Code.org and Educators Rising, the coding class and then the teacher preparation class. So that's technically supposed to go through the Curriculum Steering Committee also.
What was the other one? Code.org and?
Code.org, which is the coding curriculum that's free to state sponsors. And then Educators Rising, we have one student that's kind of doing a partial this year, so we're cheating a little bit. Forgive us. But we do want to be able to offer it as an online. It's the state supplies it. It's to train high school students that want to go in the education field, K through 12, doesn't matter, just high school teachers. And we'd like to still offer that because we can kind of do a self-paced type of thing. I was throwing out the date, is this in direct mm-hmm. Missouri? We have Thursday, April 18th. We could probably bump it to Friday the 19th. If you want to be part of that and be there for that. Fridays, I know sometimes are better for you, but you can really kind of let me. I know that following weekend is that following week isn't too bad, except it's the Bake Off Dance, and I didn't know if any of you had kids who were dancing, and then your lives become and those amazing events that they do. It takes up a lot of energy for lots of people.
18th is fine with me.
Works for me.
So far, isn't.
Is that okay?
What time is that again?
We usually do about 3, 3:15 and go later.
I couldn't make it Thursday
okay.
at that time, but...
Do you want to go to Friday? So
I cannot do Friday.
Do you want to weigh in on fine... What was the curriculum? Fine arts and...
It is fine arts and career technical education.
And career tech? Do you have strong feelings, Jay, that you want to be there?
I trust you guys.
And we will certainly share it out early so you can take a look. And if you have questions, you can represent that way. The superintendent will help with that, of course.
Would that be at the district office?
So if anybody wants to come in.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Oops.
So are we doing Thursday the 18th? Thursday the 18th?
I can't really commit to anything.
Okay.
So.
Kind of like a 3:10, just a little bit after 3, so the teachers can get down here and get their stuff going. Yeah.
And then I'll be here.
Okay. Any questions for me? Thank you.
Director of Activities Report, Mr. Jamie Cabral.
Yeah, the gym was packed. Hope you guys stopped by. It was good. I saw you there.
He was?
Yeah. He was there.
He bought a burger.
Hiding in the corner.
Yes,
he sold me a burger one day. Just got back from Regents. Our kids did phenomenally well there. Sitka was a great host. Edgecombe was a great host. And kids did really, really well. We threw something new out there for cheer this year. We had 166. 7 cheerleaders, and we did what is called a mass cheer. if you ever heard of mass pep band, they put whoever wants to play all in the section. And it's really loud in that gym. And so it is, I think it was 200 pep band members playing all at one time for one specific game. It was great. It was like really good music. Super, super good. But we did mass cheer for the first time. It was awesome. They all did a Region 5 cheer. It was super cool. Kids did great. State cheer is off. They left today. They are performing tomorrow at 6:12. That is their exact time, hopefully, 6:12. It is going to be streamed on the NFHS network. They are competing against 9 other teams in their division. So wish the best of luck to them. They do have a new system of how they're getting judged. It's not just a 2.5-minute routine. They're actually throwing it. It's called Game Day, and it's really cool. And so what they're doing basically is saying to their kids, there's 1 minute left on the clock. You are down by 2 points. Go. And they basically have to come up with a cheer. So a little bit more on cheer routine things rather than just a 2.5-minute routine. So a lot more to it, a lot more details. And it kind of came from Oklahoma. So very cool where they just started blurting stuff out at practice and see what they can do. And they got a good chance. So good luck to them. They'll be back Thursday. And I just got a text message from our spelling bee people.
Oh.
149 spellers. Didi finished 6th.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. Finished 6th overall.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
That's
is that the highest
cool.
for?
I think so.
I wonder if it
so I set the highest, and Heidi came out and said, my brother got 4th when he was a freshman. I'm like, what? No. Long time ago. So I want to go back and look at past history and start keeping records on spelling bee. So 6th place out of 149 students.
That's awesome.
So wow. They just got done a little bit ago. So super cool. Congratulations, sir. Yeah, cool. Really cool. Really cool. So baseball is off and running. We have 19 baseball players out this year. Super good. Really, really good numbers. Home weekends. Thank goodness the field has all the snow and ice is gone. It's so exciting. Last year we had to plow the field. Track got outside yesterday and it was too hot for them, so they had to come back inside. Great. So they're rolling. We got 25 track kids out. Middle school volleyball is rolling. We've got 36 kids out for that one. And then middle school track will start April 15th. And then our fabulous one, their first competition is on Tuesday. Esports is official. It is an ASAA sanctioned activity now. It's been adopted. So they will be an arbiter athlete and doing everything else. So we will do our first parent meeting for them Thursday night. And at 4:00 on Tuesday, they are competing is the schedule. So they're coming up with a team name. If you have not watched any online stuff, I don't know if I've said this before, broken record, but check out ESPN, 75,000 people showing up at these gaming competitions. It is a big push for all of that. So
when are the kids competing?
We have six students in there right now.
Okay.
Mr. Painter is kind of the advisor, mm-hmm. and Jack Byer is kind of the lead of that whole group, and we have 6 kids involved right now. So,
You said there's a match on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
We can get organized. Right?
Yep. So Tuesday is the tentative. If we make it happen, it'll be 4:00 here that they're going to start. And not sure who we're competing against. We're the only school in Southeast that has it. There are 9 school districts across the state that are going. So Metsu, Anchorage, Lower Kuskokwim, Peninsula. And so it's been really cool. Zero costs to
in
our
March?
Kids.
Like as in next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday.
Like in next
oh,
Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
where
there's two different
here?
Seasons, March, and they have a spring and a fall. And we're not quite sure where we're going to set up quite yet. I told him we might have to go auditorium and start collecting gates soon because it's going to get filled. And then bring down the big white screen. So Sitka is thinking of jumping on the bandwagon because what we're hitting is we're hitting a different population of students that are not involved in extracurricular activities sports-wise. But this is something to keep them engaged and have some school pride, and they're doing really well. So something to feel connected to. So it is really cool. A lot of good support across the state.
No cost.
No cost. Zero. Zero cost to the kids. And you know they keep their grades, they show up, they do attendance, they're doing everything like our music students would do, or high school play students would do. So really, really cool for them now that they are official. So very cool. And then we are sending Tommy Thompson, one of our track coaches, we're sending them to coaching Boys to Men. It is a state adopted program that is kind of mentors. Mr. Rick Rock has been doing it for about 4 or 5 years now. Really, really good program. I got to attend it. And Coach Kasperson in Juneau has been doing it a very long time, and probably he and Rick are the two longest to keep this program going, about just talking to young men about being respectful and doing really, really good things to be role models. And so we are sending Tommy Thompson is going up, and is still sponsored, so we're trying to get a couple more coaches to go up that work with our male students and get up there and get a really, really good program. That's amazing. And then April 14, 15, 16, we are hosting, for the first time since 2005, the Region 5 AD meeting will be here in Petersburg. So if you guys want to swing by, come say hi. We'll have about 24 of us up there. So, and if you didn't know, Karen's our Region 5 Secretary and Treasurer. She is amazing. So we are all caught up.
In keeping you in line.
Which hat is that, Karen?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the other cool looking one. It's got a whistle hanging off the side. So, but yeah. Well, we're rolling. We've got our spring activities going, and we're not done yet. So, but cross-country practice for high school starts in 2 months, or 3 months. So be ready.
What?
July 31st, here we go. That's it. Questions?
Should be more in August.
I know, right? But it's going to be too hot.
That's what they said.
Okay.
Thanks, Jamie. Director of Facilities and Maintenance report, Mr. Dan Tate.
Well, spring break has come and passed, hasn't it? It was a pretty productive week for us. Occupancy sensors to control overhead lights were installed in 3 hallways, a stairwell, several bathrooms, and storage rooms. Mattingly, Electric, and myself were involved in those tasks. Also, a $2,000 safety grant from our insurance company, APEI, was used to upgrade the outlets to GFCI protected ones in the elementary classrooms. Rands hung new doors at the gym entrance, replacing the original 1970s units. Those doors were well past their prime, and the large panes of safety glass needed as replacements had gotten prohibitively expensive, like $750 a piece. They were time for those doors to go. Our custodians deep clean bathrooms, classrooms, common areas, and the gym bleachers. And while I don't supervise our IT department, they work diligently as well on infrastructure projects by installing new airports or moving existing ones for better connectivity. They also did some smart board insulation prep and ran lines for future security cameras. I also spent a great deal of time working closely with our project advocate, Don Hiley at CIRC, on our upcoming CIP major maintenance projects. So the news on the food service renovation project is as follows. At present, the contractor, Jay Brandt, is verifying construction details with the architects, JYL, and they're preparing to order the materials needed for delivery to the district. JYL, on the other hand, is keeping tabs on the status of the state fire marshal's review of the construction plans. Those plans are expected to be approved next week, so the project can then continue in earnest. Jay Brandt has tentatively scheduled an April 19th site visit for their project manager and job foreman. And this is to prep for staging in the project commencement. So, getting on with the schedule, construction begins in the Viking Cafe and the new high school kitchen on May 6th. And on June 1st, construction will begin in the elementary cafeteria. Carly Johnson and her staff should be serving meals from the new facilities on September 10th. And shall we say, hope springs eternal on that one?
It does.
And despite these dates, Carly's serving plans are currently evolving, and breakfast and lunch will continue uninterrupted during the construction process. And then for the underground fuel storage tank project, Don Hiley and I went through the final document review with the engineers and prepared an invitation to bid. This will be advertised in 3 state papers, including the pilot, and will be on a district website starting this week for the next 3 weeks. The bids will come due on April 16th at 4 p.m., and then we'll let you know how those went. When I became your facility and director of maintenance 5 years ago, one of my goals was to improve our custodial program. And having never worked as a custodian and coming from a completely different industry and trained vocation, the task had a steep learning curve for me. I knew that the district not only needed to improve the quality of care in a few areas, but it needed to be done more efficiently and in a manner as to protect the long-term health and safety of our employees. So last winter, I reported on the professional custodial trainer that came to the district and spent a few days with our staff. At that time, we were starting to get a few things right on our own, I felt. But the knowledge and experience the trainer imparted on our custodians has really started to flourish. It's been really gratifying for me to see them discussing products and techniques and sharing their experience and tips among each other. And I think that's really cool. And alongside investing in the custodial training, the department has also invested in two pieces of custodial equipment in particular. One is the EvaClean Protexis, or Ray Gun, as we affectionately like to call it. This produces a disinfecting spray that's positively charged as it's dispensed. So it's attracted to all negatively charged items, which is everything. And it will actually wrap the spray around an object, and it can be used on nearly all surfaces and items. So we got a couple quick videos. One's 2 minutes, the other's 1 minute.
This looks
big. These are very quick videos. And safety is not just safe from imminent dangers, but it's also safe from germs and things that are unhealthy, specifically during the winter months. It's critical that we have a clean, healthy environment so that kids can be in school consistently. We need to make sure that teachers are also healthy so that they're able to be in classrooms. We learned of this technology. I pursued it, did some research, felt that the district could really benefit from having a standardized, regular disinfecting system in place. This is very simple, it's portable, something that staff with minimal training would be able to be successful with. Simple recharging of some batteries. With the electrostatic feature on these products, it wraps around each item, meaning a student desk or a student's chair. Be it their learning space, a desk, a table is clean, but also floors and doorknob. All things that are shared and touched that could be potentially spreading the germs that are causing these illnesses.
Wow. Things that are super hard to clean, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, being a dad of four young kids, yes, and also being the principal of an elementary school of almost 900, I've learned very swiftly that kids touch everything. What we've done here is we've implemented a district-wide disinfectant protocol every Tuesday and every Thursday so that we're getting that twice-weekly disinfecting process to help ensure that we are covering all the areas that we need to so that we are continuing providing a safe, clean environment for our staff and our students. We certainly rely on our facilities folks to make solid, sound decisions for all of our elementary schools, all of our middle schools, and certainly our high school. I'm super excited about having this product. I think that really stepping up our game in terms of keeping a clean and safe environment for kids is critical, and this certainly provides the ability to do it with a greater level of ease that I've not seen before in my 17 years of education. So I'm really excited to have it.
The next video is only 1 minute and speaks to the effectiveness of the unit.
Oh, okay. There's one.
Had some wonderful training on the new Protex sprayers that we just purchased.
So what's he done up?
Sorry, I was watching them at home.
My name is J.D. Mancha, and I am the Assistant Director of Transportation Services for Fullerton School District. And we just had some wonderful training on the new Protex sprayers that we just purchased.
So what's he done up? That's it. You are ready to go. It's that simple. We're able to sanitize a full bus in 2 minutes.
This large bus in 2 minutes.
$4.91.
Wow. We ran the number before and after, and it was shocking. So make sure that you guys get them out there.
We currently have two of these units, and we're looking to probably get two more. So we haven't gotten as extensive as you saw in the video, where they're doing absolutely everything, but that's kind of the goal. Mara, would you like to give it a finger out? Just a trigger right there. It's
already on. If you were the least one, that would even
get you. You don't need it. The cool thing is you don't have to soak it. You just miss it.
Yeah. I feel cleaner already.
It's a chlorinated tablet. It's
kind of
water.
We
just install these like into our like system in the ceilings?
Oh yeah.
It smells like a pool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you walk in the door, you get a shower.
So don't bother books, huh? That's what we were wondering.
Bother what?
Books. They were springing on books.
Yep.
Wow.
He said we need to expand the program, but I need to get a couple more because right now they're being shared in three large locations every night. So.
Well, you think about all the chips. Anything with fabric.
Everything.
What is it spraying? I mean, is it a...
It's a chlorinated tablet. Here.
Yeah,
chlorinated
it smells
tablet.
Like...
Yeah, it does.
Like a little bit of like bleach. Yeah.
It dissipates pretty quickly.
Does it kill lice?
No.
It lice. I was thinking
you were going to burn
them. And really quickly, the other piece of equipment is a touchless bathroom / locker room cleaning machine. And for lack of a better description, it hoses down the entire bathroom or locker room with the help of three onboard chemicals that clean and disinfect. What's left is wet vacuumed up, ensuring that any remaining dirt or bacteria gets swept away. And we have two of these machines, one here in this building and then one over at the elementary school. And this 2-minute video will just quickly show how we're cleaning
bathrooms. Unsanitary restrooms continue to be the most frequent source of complaints for facility managers. The reason is simple. It's traditional restroom cleaning processes. They simply don't work. They're time-consuming, labor-intensive, and demoralizing for cleaning personnel. In today's world, no one should be subject to crawling around on restroom floors, sticking their faces next to toilets, trying to get the restroom clean. And most cleaning personnel don't. And can you blame them? As a result, only the easy-to-reach toilet surfaces get attention, while the behind-the-bowl filth multiplies. So a restroom fixture, like a toilet, that appears to be clean, is actually the hidden source of odor-causing bacteria. To compound the problem, take a look at the traditional mop and bucket process. When a string mop is repeatedly rinsed and wrung out in a mop bucket that contains the very filth and dirt that was on the floor, nothing is getting clean. The result is filth and soil buildup on the floors and in grout lines, creating even more unsightly sources for odor-causing bacteria and that ugly ring around the bathroom wall. There's a better way to clean restrooms. It's cleaning the touch-free way with a Hilliard cleaning companion. The cleaning companion greatly simplifies the cleaning process and provides superior cleaning efficiency where more surfaces get more attention in less time, resulting in cleaner, more sanitary restrooms. Click on the system of your choice to learn more.
So typically that machine will have a cleaning, one or two cleaning agents on it. It can vary depending on what the custodian is trying to do. And then the last item that they have on there is a quaternary disinfectant. And that's hospital grade, basically. And the last thing that gets sprayed on there is the quad, and it will kill everything in about 10, 15 minutes, all the germs.
Is that intended to be like a daily user or like
daily.
A weekly user?
We do that daily. The bathrooms are cleaned every morning and throughout the mid-morning.
Wow.
That's what we've been doing the last couple of years now, and to great effect.
The sprayer.
So on occasion, I have had to fill in as a custodial sub, and the actual substitute wasn't available. I can tell you firsthand that these investments in the custodial program are making a difference. The techniques and equipment used now are more efficient, they produce a better product, and are much easier on the custodian's body, which is a win-win for everybody. In closing, I just want to backtrack to a different topic. When the borough requested the community to conserve electrical energy due to the dwindling reserves, reservoir reserves this past month, I'd like to acknowledge that our school community of students, teachers, principals, and support people, we all came together to meet that need. Hallway lights were turned off, and along with unnecessary decorative lighting, and all of our HVAC equipment was cycled on and off at opportune times to help keep those energy levels low. So as a whole, this school community came together and we did our part to help the borough out. Is there any questions?
I do have a question. It might be a better question for Carly. I don't know. But the summer lunch program she runs, is that going to be relocated then for the summer while construction?
That's the initial plan, yes.
Do we have a place where that might be, or are you guys
it
still determining that?
At the library. I think it's
the public
library?
I think
it's actually come through. They did a kind of a grant partnership there, and I think it's going to happen. I think we signed off on it this week.
I don't know if we signed off on it, but yeah, that's where it's going to be.
The public library?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Thank you.
A fun couple of weeks on either side of the project.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, school board committee reports. Anything from crisis, Cheryl?
Nope.
Anything different from curriculum, Katie? That
not that
Mr.
I know
Dormer
of. Just what Mr. Dormer already said.
Facilities, Jay?
No.
Negotiations. We have, well, I think it is it on
it's
our
on mm-hmm. agenda.
It's on their agenda, so we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. Policy, Sarah, Cheryl?
No, we'll probably get something from the ASB soon. Mm-hmm. Another
updates.
Annual kind of updates, but yeah.
Technology, anything for technology, Jay?
No.
And wellness, Katie?
We do have a meeting planned for tomorrow at 3:30 right. here in the library.
Great. Okay, we'll move into a special recognition. We received a certificate of appreciation from the U.S. Forest Service, I believe, for the support that was offered during the government shutdown.
It was. It's nice. I just wanted to read it. Let's see, Ted Sandhofer brought it in to us a couple weeks ago, and it just says, we wanted to take this opportunity to share our heartfelt appreciation for all of the extraordinary support shown to our family of federal employees during the partial government shutdown and beyond. We are humbled and honored by the outpouring of support from neighbors, businesses, nonprofits, schools, clubs, associations, and many others. Whether you provided a helping hand, resources, or just someone to talk to, it was appreciated by all. So that was nice.
It's really yeah. nice of them to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
All right, moving into old business, we have superintendent evaluation and goals. So we will just be discussing the status of where we're at for the superintendent evaluation. And we will be deciding on the date for that. So the two options, it looks like, are Thursday, March 28th or Friday, March 29th.
And we threw those out, but it could be later than that. You know, I know you guys are going to, we'll be back from our legislative fly-in. You guys,
we don't leave
till the 6th, so it could be really anywhere in there. I mean, it doesn't have to be those two, but just to kind of get the conversation started. It probably needs to be those two or those next 5 days or whatever, in the first week of April.
Have you received any, have the surveys gone out?
They're going out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So they'll have time between any of those dates?
Mm-hmm.
Preference?
About a week or so.
Would you like it to be on a Friday, Jay?
Either evening or Friday, whatever be easier for you guys.
So it's really up to you guys.
Is it easier if it's an evening show?
It doesn't matter.
Are you thinking the 29th, Ben? Or just April?
If it's in the evening, it just needs to
be.
It could
evening.
Be on Thursday in the evening if we wanted.
Or during the day on Friday.
What's your schedule on Friday?
I work endlessly on Friday.
Oh, that's one of your long
So you prefer
But if it was in the morning, I could make it work. Because, I mean, we have enough teachers. We'd be okay if I stepped out for a little while.
Does that work for you, Cheryl?
Does that work?
I don't know.
Could you do Thursday evening then?
Yeah, how about that?
I think evenings are
more predictable.
Yeah, better. 5:30 or 6?
6.
Sure.
6.
On which one are we? 6 on Thursday?
The
28th.
On the 28th.
Okay.
Where?
Dessert Donuts.
That's 6.
6 p.m. Right.
Yeah. Okay, moving into new business, we have a personnel hire. I move that we approve the hire of Heather Kahn as elementary principal beginning August 2019.
There she is, sitting in the audience.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by many people. I am sure. As I walked through the halls today and I saw the two principals together meeting already, that Heather has already hit the ground running and started planning for next year. So, any other discussion? Otherwise, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. Yay. All right, moving into the Stedman Elementary fire alarm system replacement. Mr. Dan Tate will provide information regarding the replacement of the elementary's fire alarm system. Oh, first I'll move for discussion that we approve the Johnson Controls quote of $39,996.28 to be funded with capital funds. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Take it away, Dan.
Well, as you're aware, the current fire alarm system was installed back in 1990 and it's now considered obsolete. It has been on our radar for several years, but in the last year and a half, they told us this would be coming. Parts are no longer available for the control panel, which could render this whole system inoperable. And if that happened, we would have to have a 24-hour fire watch on staff to make sure the building was protected until that fire system could be installed, and that could be several months out. This will be a fully addressable system. All the devices have digital addresses, and trouble conditions can be pinpointed pretty quickly, pretty accurately, which will allow for local repair. And I can attest to that because we have that particular type of system here in the high school, and it has saved the district quite a bit of money since we haven't had to make as many calls up to JCI for help on that. And that's who we would be going through is Johnson Controls, which was formerly known as Tyco Simplex Grinnell. They have been maintaining pretty much all the systems here in this town. They have people in town quite often to further annual inspections. So if there is a problem that we can't handle, they're almost always here. And they're highly respective and responsive to any needs that we've had. So I would recommend that we go ahead with this proposal.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye. Roll call.
Because we're spending money.
We probably should have done that on the last one, too, really, for personnel.
Yeah, I think
you
did.
Sure.
Okay. Sarah Hungry? Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Kitty Homeland?
Yes.
Marla Tomsky?
Yes. Motion passes. All right, moving into the 2019 legislative fly-in updates. This is just discussion. It won't require a roll call vote. Superintendent Clute Painter and the Finance Director will be attending the ACSA, which is the Alaska Council of School Administrators, on March 24th. You want to tell us a little bit about it or talk about it?
Yes, so we have, Karen and I have actually been involved in a couple of planning conversations with, because LASBO goes, that's the other group that goes, and actually there's a group of principals that goes to this one as well. So we try not to take everyone out of the district at the same time, but, and this is actually the first time I think Karen has gone to the fly-in. So anyway, the last few years that I've gone, I have actually teamed up with Sitka, so their superintendent, and I have kind of tag team, and we make appointments together, and we, you know, kind of share a Southeast perspective for people, which I think is pretty effective. And our group is actually expanding now because people kind of like that model of having a few people at one time. I think the legislators actually appreciate it because, you know, the same, I mean, one person after another, after another, after another, kind of coming through with the same message isn't always, you know, very effective use of time. So we have a Southeast kind of contingency of people. We have somebody from Chatham, Sitka, us, Mount Metlakatla, and Wrangell, and Yakutat.
Ketchikan.
No, and Yakutat. Yeah. So, and then it'll be kind of a little group of us, maybe not all of us at the same time, but so we've been meeting to kind of put together, you know, kind of an impact statement about our district, but how it also compares with other Southeast communities and needs that are similar, and trying to have more of a united voice. So we are preparing that way. We are also working on, Mara's been communicating back and forth a lot with us too about, you know, kind of creating like infographics about our district that are kind of these short, you know, kind of impactful, how do you sum up what we do in our district or who we are, you know, in a page or two kind of. So we're actually working on that this week as well. And so you guys can utilize the same. We have business cards for you too. I know. So anyway, so we're working on that, and I don't know if there's anything else to add on the planning at this point.
It's still coming together.
Yeah, yeah. And even the agenda is changing, of course, daily, because
depending on
all
what
of us watching
gavel,
yeah, well, you know, so you never really know which what's happening with which committee and which hearing and who's on first and what's on second and yeah, all that. So anyway, we got another update today of that schedule. And the nice thing about everybody going at once, I mean, I think sometimes people wonder, well, why does everybody go up to a fly-in? What's, you know, the advantage is there's an advantage of sort of strength in numbers for like-minded people to be in the same place at the same time. But there's also an advantage for legislators to be able to have access to people as well. So it isn't all about even going just to the Capitol. They arrange, you know, kind of panels for them to come to us, and then they'll have an opportunity to ask questions as well and present their information and take questions, you know, and comments from us as well. So it's a pretty impactful, you know, meeting, a time. So we'll see what happens with it, and then you guys will get to do round two on April 6th.
Isn't there a rumor that the budget director will be at ours?
That's not a rumor.
It's been confirmed.
This is Donna Argerman will be a speaker at our luncheon for the legislative fly-in.
Wow.
For the school board.
Yeah.
The OMB director will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't confirm or deny whether we'll have to check our cell phones at the door, and I also cannot confirm or deny whether they'll take questions, but she
true.
Will be speaking to us on that Sunday, so it'll be interesting.
This is true.
So Sarah and I will go up on the 5th of April, and we will be meeting with Senator Stedman at 2:30 at that time. I know that there is a swimming, all of you out in radio listener land, there's a swimming meet over that weekend. I have I've asked both the senator and our representative, Jonathan Christ-Tompkins, if community members can join us during those meetings, and they are both open with that. So if anyone who is up in Juneau during that weekend and they want to hop in on our meetings, I know it's sometimes easier to go with a group of people than to sit in front of them and speak. We will be with Senator Stedman at 2:30 on the 5th. That is a Friday. And we will be at 9 a.m. with Jonathan Christ-Tompkins on Monday, April 8th.
9 a.m.?
Well, I think it's like 9:15, but
okay.
Mm-hmm. Meet in the halls at 9 a.m. And feel free to reach out to us if you're going to be in Juneau, not with that group, and you want to tag along. We would be more than happy to have you. We have, with AASB, they have members that are at the on the Hill sitting in at the meetings, and then they send us information regularly about what's going on. And this conference will just give some opportunities for them to have big group meetings of all districts and kind of to update us at that point and give us a little training on how to advocate for students with the legislators. I mean, it's not an easy process, and it can be an intimidating process. So especially when there's three troopers surrounding our governor, I don't know, you might not want to go up and talk to him. So that it gives us great training in order to be able to do that. So I don't know if we need to talk about any of our other things. I can move right into the budget
mm-hmm.
update. So I had presented or I had mentioned that we thought that the budget would come out of the House around March 22nd, and they look like they are on track to do that. They're doing closeouts in their subcommittees this week. We saw the Department of Education did a partial closeout yesterday. They'll do the final closeout tomorrow. They are doing a new process that they haven't done in the last few years. I heard the last time that this process was done was in 2016, where they take a base that maybe is not the governor's proposal, and then they take the governor's proposal and weigh each item. And each item has to have someone that moves it forward and then has to be voted on. So the Education Committee did just that. They took FY19's budget minus one-time funding. So they took out the $30 million. That's the base that they started with. And then they went over every cut that had been proposed by Governor Dunleavy's amended budget that had been put out. And none of the cuts were accepted. I mean, none of the cuts were motioned forward. So right now, it's looking like it's going to be coming out of the House that there will be no cuts to the Department of Education in the House's version of the budget. Which we kind of expected. Generally, the House is a little bit more generous with government funding, or has been in the last few years. So we'll watch it tomorrow. There is supposed to be an amendment that would reduce, they were proposing to reduce travel for deed by 50%. I think that they're going to introduce a travel cut of 25%. That's what Representative Ortiz said, that he would be bringing that motion forward tomorrow. They have not discussed the foundation funding. So we also knew that if they did nothing to the foundation funding, that it would be what they had passed last year. Unless they bring it up tomorrow, that would be flat funding. Mm-hmm. Unless they bring it up tomorrow, I would assume that they're probably going to move that forward to the committee as a whole, the finance committee as a whole. So we'll see where that goes. There were a few members on the education committee that walked out that did not sit through the budgeting process, which is unfortunate. I don't feel like they were representing their districts very well by not sitting in on that committee meeting and voicing their opinions or moving forward cuts if that's what they preferred. So that's unfortunate that happened. But that's what we know about education. There have also been a couple of others that have been coming out. We heard today that public broadcasting, the committee that it was in, they had their funding restored. I mean, I guess I don't know. You can't really call it restored. It's just that it wasn't cut out. And then there were quite a few others. So there aren't very many cuts that are being picked up to move forward out of the House. So it will likely look similar to the FY19 this year's budget, with probably a few changes once it goes over to the Senate. That's best case scenario, I think, at this point. Mm-hmm. So we never can tell with Juno what really comes out of it. But
yeah, and they were taking testimony this morning as well on the school bond debt reimbursement. Mm-hmm. The Alaska Municipal League is putting out quite a bit of information about that too, and as well as the all of our organizations, because mm-hmm. of course that's just one more thing that has an impact on our districts, that if we're not having that opportunity to participate in that for major maintenance in our food service and replacing roofs and doing all those kinds of things with our borough, and then those things will end up actually getting just passed back mm-hmm. to our borough, which is continuing to add to the challenges in our local community, because it's not just about the school, it's about mm-hmm. it's about the borough as well, and our interaction there and what's happening with them kind of continuing to push things back onto the local community, which is creating challenges for all of us. As far as discussing, different scenarios and that sort of thing, Mara and Karen and I and the board was all there as well. Before spring break, we had a community meeting. We've also met with all of our staff about this, just to try to put some perspective and information out there about what the huge impact that the governor's proposed budget could potentially have on our district, and what that would look like, and ways to mitigate that. And it's such a massively large number, $1.43 million out of an $8.4 million budget is it's an astronomical amount to try to reasonably reduce. So I think that's what's really been frustrating for a lot of us, just trying to work through the process. And it's also been very stressful for our staff, because this clearly you can't get to that sort of level of a reduction without talking about people's positions. And so it's very worrisome to people. It creates a sense of uneasiness, and that has been the most frustrating part of all of this, because that's not what we should be focusing on right now. We should be focusing on and teaching and learning and curriculum and providing, rich opportunities for our kids. We should not be doing this, and our teachers and staff should not be worrying about this and spending their time worrying about it. So that's, I think, the most frustrating thing for me, because we were so excited last year. We had 2 years of funding, and we weren't going to be talking about this all spring long. And now that's what we're doing, is talking about it all spring long. So we will continue to provide information and put things out there. We don't want people to panic, but we're also just trying to keep information going about, you know, what things cost in the district, you know, conversations as a larger community about things like funding the swimming pool and how to heat that, and those are larger conversations than just us talking about things like student activities. Those are larger conversations than just the school. There's a whole host of supports that go into that at the local level. And then, of course, looking at programs and class sizes. This is a community that has always valued and seen the importance of providing reasonable class sizes for our children, especially at the elementary level. That's been something that the community has valued and actually really demanded and supported. So, as well as providing opportunities for our kids as they move into middle and high school, they need rich and varied opportunities to be prepared for what's coming after high school. And you can't do that if you strip everything away. So I think that's that just kind of encapsulates probably the process right now. We are trying not to overreact, I would say. We also don't want to, you know, we don't want to make knee-jerk reactions about things and hack away whole, you know, projects without having our whole positions or programs and that sort of thing without having enough information. We do know we will likely be creating a budget and making decisions about staffing well before the budget is decided at the state. And that is stressful. You know, that makes it really stressful. So, and I know the borough's doing the same thing. They just talked about it last night. They'll go through their budget process and then they'll likely come back in the fall and potentially have to, you know, relook at things there too. The difficulty for us is we're under obligations right now for contracts, and you know, we have obligations that way. We have health insurance. I mean, the work continues, right? We still have fire panels to replace. We still have children in our classrooms. We have programs that are moving forward and should be, because we budgeted for those. We prepared for that. So it's challenging. So we're just asking for patience. We're also asking for people, if you are concerned out there or you have questions, if you weren't able to attend some of the conversations that we've had, if people are interested in maybe having another, you know, community conversation as time goes along, we are happy to do that. It's outreach, it's information. People have good ideas out there too, and thoughts about things, and you know, we're happy to hear those. So I think that's probably enough about budgets.
There is talk that the Senate is supposed to be done by May 15th.
That's what they're saying.
You know, if they don't pass a budget as of May 15th, they put in a rule last year that they can no longer receive per diem after that date.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. And I think also
they're looking to pass it.
That's right. And I think
but he can hold on to it until June 30th.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is just that same conversation we had last time though about just that if they really do leave it all alone. Honestly,
yeah.
It could move forward for at least a year the way they actually intended it to. So, it you know, I guess if he wanted everybody to be having conversations about all this in the state, that's what's happening. We're having lots of conversations about all this across the state. So I guess.
Well, we do still need support for, I mean, related but not related, Alaska Marine Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, still needs some support. They are, you can go on to, where were they talking about it? Senate Finance, Subcommittee Transportation, where they were giving three scenarios of what it might look like or what they would try to get it to look like, reducing where and how often they travel and what that might look like, if it still goes forward with just not so quite of a drastic cut.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you would like to know those links, I would be happy to provide them.
Yes, and we would keep encouraging people to let your voice be heard on whatever issues you think are important, and not to be afraid to do it, and check in at the LIO or ask one of us, or just get right online and do it. It's not hard,
mm-hmm.
not hard to do once you do it. Once you just it's pretty simple, and you don't have to be long-winded. I think Mara said that earlier.
No.
Just say what you support or don't, and call good.
Okay. All right. Petersburg District Support Personnel Negotiations. We have received a letter of intent to negotiate the 2019 to 2022 contract for the Alaska Public Employees Association, which is our classified staff. Mm-hmm. So we've received the letter. We have not set a date at this time, but we are looking at dates in order to enter into negotiations.
And I think potentially, I don't know if we want to talk with Cheryl about that too, because there's potential that they might want to start that in, or have an initial meeting like the first week in April. So we could, I know their life is, yeah. So we could talk about that maybe after if you want.
Okay. Any additional comments from board members? All right, here's the rundown of some important dates that happened before our next meeting. Of course, you can find all of these dates on the academic and activities calendar, which is on pcsd.us. March 21st, it's a Thursday, there is a PIE meeting in the elementary library at 4 p.m. On March 22nd to... we will have upper grade students at the close-up trip to Washington, D.C. March 27th, that's a Wednesday, we'll be having pre-ACT testing for grade 10 at the Holy Cross House. And on March 29th, that's a Friday, it'll be middle school activity night starting at 6:30 p.m. It looks like at the end of March, we'll need to set the agenda for our next meeting. I can take care of that with you guys later.
Okay.
We'll have PEAKS testing from April 2nd to the 4th. That will be district-wide. On April 2nd, that's a Tuesday, there will be ACT testing for grade 11. April 4th, 5th, and 6th, there will be a high school play in the Wright Auditorium at 6 p.m. on each of those evenings. Come and enjoy the dramatics. On the April 8th, that is a Monday, there will be a state science testing in grades 4, 8, and 10. And then on April 9th, we will be back at KFSK giving out Campus Connection. Thanks to them for offering such great news coverage of our board meetings.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Public radio.
And then we will meet that evening for our regular school board meeting at 6 p.m. on April 9th. Are there any future agenda items to add? All right. If not, I move that we adjourn our evening meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Cheryl. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. We're adjourned.